So we're holding on Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, about the middle of the Amud. The line begins Min Achlitzo Mayim. We learned in the Mishnah various dinim about a nine-year-old, where we said that the nine-year-old's bia is considered bia, and therefore you have various dinim involved with him, with him when there's yibum involved. So in particular, we had a din in the Mishnah that this Ben Teisha Shanu V'Yem Echad had had two wives. One was a Yavama. He had relations with his Yavama when he was 9 years old, and then later on, after he became a Gadol, which is 13 plus Shtei Cyrus, then he married another woman. So the other woman is definitely considered his wife. The Yavama depends whether he had relations with her since he turned 13. If not, then she's only considered married to him Drabanon, because the relations that he had with her, the Bia, is considered only to have this force of Mimer, not of true Yib. So therefore, the Mishnah had said that the first one, the Yavama, is going to have to do Chalitza. So if this boy dies childless now, so now the first one is going to need Chalitza and not Yibum, and the second one can do either Chalitza or Yibum, and Rav Shimon had said either one can do Yibum, and the second one is going to need Chalitza. So the Mishnah said, Ben Teisha v'chola mishehikta v'chola. So the Gemara asks, the Yastu bias ben tes k'maimu b'gadol. Now, why don't we say, we said that the nine-year-old's bia is considered like maimer. So why don't we say then, in that case, that it's considered fully like maimer of an adult yavam, the tidachet tsara miyibum, and the result is that tsara would not be able to do yibum either. Namely, we had a case much earlier in the Masechta, in Daf Lamed Aleph, where you had a case involving two wives like that. And the din was, we said that both of them is chotzes v'lo misyabas. The case we had was that you had three brothers, each one married to an unrelated woman. One of them died, and the second one did maimer with his wife. Then that second one died. So we said what we have is Eishes Shnei Mesim. That woman now has an unsatisfied zika from two different mesim on her, because there's still minatoda. There's the unsatisfied zika from her first husband, because that hasn't been, the yibum hasn't been accomplished to take care of that zika. And you also have a zika midrabanan from the second one, because he did maimer with her, and therefore she's what's called eishes shnei mesim, and eishes shnei mesim doesn't do yibum, has to do chalitza. And the result was, we said that not only she doesn't do chalitza, but even that's true of her tzara as well. So now in this case, that brother who did the maimer with her. So not only the balas ha-maimer, not only the one who received the maimer has to do chalitza and not yibum, but so does his actual wife. So you had Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, each of them married to an unrelated woman. So we're saying that not so when Reuven dies, and now his wife is up for yibum, and now Shimon, who has his own wife, does maimer with her and then dies. We said that now both Shimon's full wife and the one that Shimon did maimer with both need chalitza only, not yibum, because we say that his maimer made the first one is eishes shnei mesim, and that includes also that her tzara, even though her tzara is not eishes shnei mesim, because she has a connection only to Shimon, nevertheless, still, once one of them is also to yibum midrabanan, then so is the other one. We talked about yesterday in the Gemara that there is, that in that case, there's a reason, there's more of a reason for the Chachamim to be Goyzer, because if you do Yibum with one, you might mistakenly think that you should actually do Yibum with both of them, and that would be a problem, because then you're doing Yibum with two wives from the same family, and you can't do that. That would be, well, right, so that would be a bigger problem, exactly. So the question is, why don't we do the same thing over here? Why don't we say that this, and here we're talking about, we have a nine-year-old. Where again, he did bia with this yavama, and we're saying that that's considered only like maimer. And then we're saying that he has another wife who's married to him daraisa. So it's exactly the same case as the case of the case of the three brothers from earlier in the Masechta. And yet there we say that neither of them can get yibum. Here we're saying that one of them can. Here we're saying the yavama needs chalitza, but the other one can do either chalitza or yibum. What's the difference? So why don't we say that his bia has the force of maimer, but tidochet tzara miyibum, and the tzara should be pushed off from getting yibum? The answer is Amar Rav loy also bias ben test kemaimer begadol. The answer is Rav says exactly that. The Chachamim did not give the bia of a 9-year-old the strength of maimer begadol. It has enough strength to passel her from yibum, but not to passel her tzara from yibum.
Like a small mimer.
It's like a mini mimer, exactly. Right. Like a mini mimer.
So yeah. When you say tidacha tzara,
tidacha tzara would have meant she should be pushed off.
Pushed off from yibum.
From yibum, okay. But she would still need chalitza, okay. Because on a daraisa level. So, right. So Rav says that no, it's only considered like a mini mimer. It's not considered full-fledged mimer. Therefore, yes, it has the ability to push herself off, the balas a mimer, from getting yibum, but not her tzara. On the other hand, Shmuel says, as a matter of fact, they did. They did make it to have fully the force of yibum of mimer rather, and in fact,
like mimer gadol,
like mimer gadol, and therefore the result would be, in fact, that it would be the same din as in our Mishnah. So in other words, there are two different tanoim over here. There's the tana of the earlier Mishnah in the third parak, and then there's the tana of our Mishnah. The double expression osu v'osu, I mean, on the surface, it just means it's a way of strengthening and saying they most definitely did. The Ritva, I think, says that maybe what it means is, he means they made it like Maimur to the extent that it passels her, and they further made it even like Maimur to the extent that it passels her tzara. V'cheinu Rabbi Yechanan osu v'osu, and Rabbi Yechanan says the same thing. So the Gemara says v'yasu tanoim. So in that case, it's actually a machloikas tanoim, whether in fact they make it that strength. The Tana of the earlier Mishnah in the third Perek, it's called Abar Achen because that's the name of the Perek. That particular case involves only three brothers, but the first case in that Perek involves four brothers, so therefore the whole Perek is called Abar Achen. So the Tana of that Mishnah in the third Perek, Gozer Mishum Tzara, he says the reason. Now you have to figure, why is it that Eishes Shnei Mesim should not do Yibum in the first place? So we touched on yesterday, one reason to say that might be because, again, if you do yibum with Eishes Shnei Mesim, you may instead come to do yibum with the tzara as well, and that would be a problem because then you're marrying Eishes Och where you don't have the mitzvah of yibum. So hai tana da'bo achim gozer mishum tzara. So the tana in that perek holds the reason why a case of Eishes Shnei Mesim, this woman that we're talking about over here, who still has an unsatisfied zika from her first husband, but also now has maimer from another one, that the reason why not to do yibum with her is because you might then mistakenly go and think you can marry her tzara as well. So in that case, he would hold an on Mishnah as well, the same thing. So he tells us that case back on Daf Lamed Aleph involving a gadol. He would hold the same thing would be with a cotton. So he would disagree with our Mishnah. Bahai Dama Gadol. So the reason why he talks about a Gadol there on Daf Lamed Aleph, Mishum Dama Gadol Koi, because the context there is talking about Dolim. We haven't yet dealt with the case of Ktanim in that part of the Masechta. Bahai Tana Dahocha, whereas Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan continue, the Tana of our Mishnah, Svirulei Osu, he holds that we do give the mimer of the cotton, that we do give the bia of the cotton the full strength of mimer of the gadol, the loy gaza mishum tzara. He says it's not because of a gzera because we might marry the tzara. It's just that all by herself she is disqualified from yibum. As we said at the beginning of the Gemara yesterday, in the first lines of the Gemara here after the Mishnah, that Rava had said that our Mishnah is saying exactly that. But even when there's no tzara, we had the earlier part of our Mishnah. We said shabal yivinto mes cheletzis v'lo mis yabemes. So there's no tzara involved, and we still see that our Mishnah holds that you don't do yibum to the wife of the cotton. So even though because she's Eishes Shnei Mesim, because she has a zika left over from her first husband because the cotton wasn't able to fully satisfy that because his bia is not yibum, and he himself did mimer with her, which is considered like mimer, so now she's Eishes Shnei Mesim. In the first part of our Mishnah, there's no second wife, there's no tzara involved, and still our Mishnah is saying chaletzis v'lo mis yabemes. So the Tana of our Mishnah holds that, in fact, it has nothing to do with a tzara. Just the fact that she's Eishes Shnei Mesim by itself puts her off from Yibum. So he holds that osu, that we do give Mimer the full strength of, that we do give Bia of a nine-year-old the full strength of Mimer. V'loid gozim b'shum tzara. So he doesn't hold the gzeder as because of tzara. And v'ashmin in the cotton. So he tells us about a cotton for who I didn't begodl. But in fact, he would disagree with it with your Mishnah and say the same thing applies to a godl. Again, the reason why the Tana of our Mishnah mentions a cotton is because we're talking about a cotton, so therefore he's talking in that context. But in fact, he would disagree with the Mishnah earlier in the Masech. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ozo Rabbi Lazar, Omer l'shmaita be'medrasha. Now Rabbi Lazar went and told over the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that about our Mishnah and about what the Tana of our Mishnah holds versus the Tana of the earlier Mishnah. So he went and told this over in the Bes Medrash. He did not tell it over in Rabbi Yochanan's name. Rabbi Yochanan heard about it and he was very upset. Why don't you say it over in my name? Now, why is he so upset about that? The Gemara is going to explain at the bottom of the Amud why that is. But first, let's finish the story. The Gemara continues the story. Ul gabei Rab Ami v'Rab Asi. So Rab Ami and Rab Asi, who were Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, came to see him and to try. Ul means they went in. So they went in to calm him down. Omrulay, and they told him, and they were telling him, be careful about getting angry against Rabbi Lazar. They say, isn't it true that there happened a story in the Shul of Tveria in a generation earlier, in an earlier generation, in the case of a bolt for a door that has a knob at one end of it. So you have a machloikas, here we're talking Rabbi Lazar the Tanner, and Rabbi Yossi argued about whether you're allowed to move such a bolt on Shabbos. The point is, since it has a knob, whether you can move it on Shabbos, and therefore whether you can lock the door with it. I think Gemara discusses in Erevin, we're talking about that it's not tied to the door. The point is, in other words, is it considered a keli? So one way of looking, Rabbi Yossi takes the view that since it has a knob at one end, then therefore it resembles a keli. You can actually use it for something. You can use it, for example, to grind up spices. Now, of course, you can't grind spices on Shabbos, but nevertheless, that makes it a keli that you'd be allowed to move on Shabbos. That's sort of gufoy makomoy, the same way as, for example, you'd be allowed, let's say, to move a hammer on Shabbos in order to crack nuts. So the same way over here, you'd be allowed to move it for a purpose, which is mutter, namely to lock the door. Whereas Rabbi Lazar disagrees and says that since it's not tied to the door, then it looks like boina, and then therefore you can't move it. So they were arguing about it, and ad shekoru sefer Torah b'chamasim, until they whipped a sefer Torah in their anger. So the Gemara interjects, koru sabda, what do you mean they ripped it? The word koru implies that they deliberately read the b'kavana, Tosfos says. Obviously, we're not going to say Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yossi, the Tanoim, aren't ripping a sefer Torah b'kavana. Ela emesh nikra sefer Torah b'chamasim. What we mean is the sefer Torah was ripped in their anger, meaning, on the side over here, there's a note from the Aruch that it means that each one was pulling the Sefer Torah towards him. Because in other words, that in those times, what they learned from Sefer Torah, other Sfarim hadn't been written yet. So they have a Sefer Torah open in front of them, and they're both like pulling it back and forth between them. Like, I want to show you such and such a pasuk or whatever. And by accident, it got ripped in the heat of it. V'hoya sham Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was there observing what happened. And he said, I will be very surprised if this shul does not end up becoming a place of Avodah Zarah. Because what's the connection? Maharsha says, because there was anger, there was such unrestrained anger over here. In other words, you can have, you know, Talmud Chachamim argue together, and sometimes the discussion gets heated. But once you get to the point that the Sefer Torah was ripped, even if accidentally, then it means, in other words, there was too much anger over here, and Kol HaKoyas Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah. So therefore, it removes the Shechina from the place, and when the Shechina is gone, then and the Chein Haba, and that's in fact what happened. That shul ended up, unfortunately, becoming a base of Avodah Zarah. So therefore, Rav Ami and Rav Asi are telling Rav Yochanan, be careful about getting angry about Rav Elazar. We don't want such consequences about our base marriage. But that backfired. Hoder ikpad tvei. Now Rav Yochanan was even more upset. Are you implying like he's a colleague of mine? It's one thing, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yossi were chaverim. So yes, they have to have, you know, yes, the discussion between the Chachamim can get kind of heated, but there still needs to be a certain, there still needs to be a certain restraint. But a Rebbe has greater latitude over his Talmud. When he sees that his Talmud is not acting properly, then he's allowed, and even to a certain extent required, to zroik mora b'talmidim, as the Gemara says elsewhere, to put a little fear into him. So he's my Talmud, he's not my chaver. So what are you telling me? So now Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi went to visit Rabbi Yochanan and appease him. Omale, he says to him like this: there's a pasuk in Sefer Yoshua that says, "Kashet siva Hashem as Moshe avdei," just as Hashem commanded a servant Moshe, "Kain siva Moshe as Yoshua." That is exactly what Moshe commanded Yoshua. "V'chein also Yoshua," and that's exactly what Yoshua did. "Lo heisu davo," he did not remove or leave out a single thing. "Mikol hashet siva Hashem as Moshe," from everything that Hashem told Moshe. So the pasuk is telling us that everything that Yoshua did was done based on Moshe's instructions. Now, says Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, do you think that every time Yeshua told them to do something, he says, "This is what Moshe told me"? Or every time, not just every time he told them to do something, every time he teaches them a halacha, he's the Makabal Atorda of his generation. Moshe Kibbal Torah Misinai, or Masari Yeshua, Yeshua Liskanin. So do you think that every time Yeshua told the people something, he told them, "This is what Moshe told me"? He didn't need to. Elo Yeshua Yoshi B'Dodesh. What it means is Yeshua is sitting and darshaning stam without saying one way or the other. Everybody knows that what he's saying comes from Moshe. And that's what the pasuk is saying. In other words, that everything that Yeshua is doing came from Moshe, even if he didn't say so explicitly. So the same way Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi says to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Talmud Cho Yoshi B'Derish Stam, the same way with your Talmud, Rabbi Lazar, he's sitting and darshaning stam without saying in your name, V'hakol Yodin Kishochohi. But everybody knows it comes from you because he learned his Torah from you. Now, Maharsha points out, it's not an exact comparison, because with Yeshua, where else would he have learned it from? His only Rebbe was Moshe, whereas Rabbi Lazar conceivably could have learned by, what?
The world's only Rebbe,
fine. But he could have learned directly from Yoshua, from Moshe, or indirectly, but we know he was Moshe's devoted Talmud, as opposed to Rabbi Lazar could have learned from other people as well. And in fact, we do find here and there in Shas, most of the time, what Rabbi Lazar says is in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, but we find the occasional thing that he says in the name of Rav or Shmuel or whatever. But still, Maharsha points out the comparison is that Rabbi Lazar, when he says something unspecified, it means it comes from you. If he means that it's from somebody else, for example, if it's his own seichel, for example, with Yeshua also, after all, couldn't it be that he came up with a certain thing with his own seichel? But we say that no, nevertheless, it still comes from Moshe, because Moshe kibbal Torah misinai. So the same way, if Rabbi Lazar is coming up with something in his seichel, then it's still attributable to you. And if it's something that he's saying in the name of somebody else, he would have said so explicitly. So the fact that he doesn't say means automatically it comes from you. Omer Lahem, so now Rabbi Yochanan turns to the other Talmidim. He says, "He did good. Why don't you know how to appease somebody like our colleague Ben Idi?" And it was Rabbi Yaakov Ben Idi made a good point. I accept what he says. Why didn't you, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, think of such a thing? And instead you're telling me off for getting angry at him and then making things worse.
Where did Rabbi Lazar go to appease?
Why didn't Rabbi Lazar go to appease him? He may have figured that Rabbi Yochanan, first of all, he may not have known that maybe he was scared. Maybe he didn't even know yet. Maybe he didn't even know that Rabbi Yochanan was angry at him yet. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So the question is, Rabbi Yochanan, my time of kofid kulehai. Now, why is Rabbi Yochanan so machbid on it? Now, we know that kol ha'omer davar b'shem omer maybe go l'olam. However, Maharsha says, if that was it, it wouldn't only be Rabbi Yochanan who would be machbid. It would be everybody who would be machbid. So we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan was bothered by it. So it means that there's something special about Rabbi Yochanan. So the answer is, the Amr of Yehuda Amr Rab, my dichtiv ogur of ocha olamim. What does it mean? A pasuk in Tehillim, David says, let me live in your tent forever. So olamim means two worlds. How can a person be living at the same time in two worlds? It's one or the other. May it be your will, Hashem, that people should be saying over Torah in my name in this world and that accomplishes, then I'll be living, even after I pass away, I'll be in both worlds. The Omer Rabbi Yechon and Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yechai, Kol Tamad Chacham Sha'omim Dvar Shumum V'Piv Ba'olam Hazeh, any Tamad Chacham where they say over a teaching in his name in Olam Hazeh, Sif Sosav Dovavos Bakeper, his lips move in the grave. So in other words, he's still, in a certain sense, alive in this world. Now, the Ein Yaakov, the Ein Yaakov has a pirush on it from the author, from the compiler of Ein Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Rav Chabib, called HaKosev. So he explains, I mean, what do you mean, Begashmias, the guy's lips move? What it means is, it's considered like this, a person is able to accomplish Mice and Tovim in this world, then after 120, he goes to the next world and he can't accomplish Mice and Tovim anymore. But now, when they say over Torah in his name, then it's considered, in effect, as though now he's still accomplishing Mice and Tovim, and therefore, as though to a certain extent, he's in this world. That's what it means. So he wants to be doing mitzvahs even after 120. On the other hand, Maharsha says, you know what, it could even mean begashmias. The fact is that his lips were the keli that were used to say Torah over in this world. And therefore, so now when Torah is being said over in his name, then that keli, even though that keli is now lying in the dust and is returning Allah for Toshuv, nevertheless, there's still a certain, the neshama, wherever it is, in the Olam Elyon, still has an effect on it, begashmias, that actually moved. So when we're saying Tillim, for example, and actually, yeah, it says another thing that David asked for is that when people learn Tillim, Hashem should consider it as though they learned the Goyim Ba'alos. So yeah, so it means that David, that means that as if when we say Tillim, it's considered as if we were learning the complicated dinim of the Goyim Ba'alos. Yeah. So yeah, every time we say Tillim, it means we're saying Torah over in David's name. So yeah. So therefore, sort of, yeah. What? Yeah. Okay. So Rav Yochanan really wanted that. In particular, actually, Eitz Yosef on Ein Yaakov points out, we know from a Gemara at the beginning of Brachos that Rav Yochanan didn't have any surviving children. All his children passed away in his lifetime. So therefore, he had more reason than the average Tamar Chacham. Yeah, carried the bone around, yeah. So, or truth, actually, it says. But yeah, anyway, so therefore, he had more reason than the average person to want that Torah should be said over in his name whenever possible. So that he'll have the schus loss of lavoi, and so because after all his children, he doesn't have children to be able to carry it on. So the Gemara says, "Omer Rabbi Yitzchak ben Zeira v'itema Shimon Nezira Maikra." Where is a posik that expresses that idea? A posik in Shir Hashirim, "V'chikech," and your palate, meaning that you taste with, "Kiyein hatoiv," is like the good wine, "Holach ledoidi lemeisharim," which goes to my beloved, which means to Hashem, in a straight way. Doiviv sifsi yeshenim. It makes the lips of the ones who are asleep move. And the word doiviv, Rashi explains, means like it bubbles, it moves and comes out. So it means ma koimer shalom. So it means kekoimer shalom. The pasuk is comparing the learning words of Torah like a pile of grapes. In particular, koimer. The word koimer actually comes from a word that means heated up. When you want to press grapes, what you do is you put them in a big pile, and that way the temperature, because it's all piled tightly together, the temperature of the grapes rises, and therefore when you press them, then you'll get more juice out of them. So therefore, so kakoma shalanovim, ma koma shalanovim kimim shamaniach odomets boy all of yadbergiv. You just even just touch it with a finger, then right away the juice in it starts welling forth because it's so soft. That even the slightest touch makes juice start flowing. After Tamar Chachamim, Kivin Shomim, Mashmuim, Pirim, Olam Hazeh. The same way, the Tamar Chachamim, when you say a statement of Torah in their name in Olam Hazeh, Sifseseim Dove Vespekever, their lips move in the grave, and that's what we mean that Dove Sifse Yeshenim. That even though they're Yeshenim, they're sleeping in the dust until Tchias Hameisim. Nevertheless, Dove, it still makes their lips move. The Yerushalmi, when it brings this, by the way, says the Yerushalmi brings this in a couple of places. Says that he has the sensation. It literally is kiyena hatov. The person has the pleasure that's comparable to when a person begashmias drinks really good high quality spiced wine. The same way the neshama, the person, the neshama and the guf have that kind of pleasure in olam haba when Torah is said over in their name. So as if they're drinking kundit, which is good high quality spiced wine. Like the way that a person enjoys that in Olam Hazeh, that's the kind of that's a mashal for the kind of enjoyment that the mess has when you say Torah over in his name after he passes away.
You don't have anything that someone can say over in your
name. If you don't have anything that someone can say over in your name, then you have other things. Then you have to have Mice and Tov or whatever. We're talking about a Talmud Chacham.
You better start writing Sfaris.
Okay, new. Anyway, the point is that is why Rabbi Yochanan was upset. But again, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi told him that in this particular case, whenever Rabbi Elazar says something, it's known that it's in your name. So therefore, people are going to be mentioning your name on these halachas anyway. And in fact, we see here in our Gemara that we quoted this particular din. V'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan asu v'asu. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, the last statement we said in the Mishnah was that all of these rules that we're talking about a ben test shanim, about a 9-year-old, apply equally well until if he's 20 years old and doesn't have shtei sairis. So echad ben test shanim, so the Gemara says a reminu. I have a contradiction. A Mishnah says ben esrim shana shalahebi shtei sairis, that if a 20-year-old has not yet developed shtei sairis, yaviu raya shuhu ben esrim, then they should bring proof. They have to bring proof. That he's at birth certificate, for example, he's actually 20 years old. Vahu has soris. Really, what it means is he bring 80. But anyway, vahu has soris, and then he's considered a soris, which we learned about earlier in the Masechta, and the result is loy chalitz v'loy b'yamim. He doesn't do chalitza and he doesn't do yibum, because chalitza and yibum both require that he should be potent, that he should be the kind of person who's able to father children. And he's not by definition. So we see that we consider him a gadol. We don't say that he's a cotton and we still have to wait longer. And similarly, the Mishnah continues, Bas Esrim Shana Shalevi Shtei Sairis. Similarly, a girl 20 years old who doesn't have Shtei Sairis, Yoviu Raya Shi Bas Esrim, they have to bring proof that she's 20. Vihi Hailonis, and then we know she's an Ilonis. Loiche Letzis Vlemis Yabemis. She's not subject to Chalitza or Yibum for the same reason, because the Pasuk also implies over there, Asher Tele, that she has to be capable of having children. The point is, we see that a 20-year-old without Shtei Sairis is considered a gadol, because a Saris already is considered a gadol, not a cotton. The answer is Itmar Allah. The answer is, don't you know? There was said about that. Amar of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rab, Vohu Shenod Deloy Simone Sris. This that we're saying, if he's 20, then he's considered a Sris without Shtei Sairis, is only if he also has the Simone Sris. So we learned earlier on Daf Pei, we talked about several physical symptoms that show that a person is a Sris. So we said, for example, his voice is high pitched, his skin is smooth and doesn't have hair on it. When he urinates, it doesn't go in an arch, and so forth, and several other simonim over there. So when he has those simonim, we had a machloikus in the Gemara, whether he needs to have all of them or only some of them, plus he doesn't have shtei sairis, then we say that he's a soris at age 20. And actually not really age 20. The Gemara elsewhere talks about that it's enough to be that part of a year is considered a year. So you have a machloikus rishonim. The Rambam holds that it means 30 days short, or the Rambam holds that it means 30 days into the 20th year, so 19, and then 30 days. And the Ravid, I think, holds it means the other way. I might have that backwards, actually. Whatever. One of them, the Rambam and the Ravid, one of them holds it means 20 minus 30 days, and the other one holds it means 19 and 30 days. Whatever. The point is that if he has Simone Sris, then he's considered a gadol. But if not, then not, as we're going to see in a couple of lines, how long you have to wait then. Omar Rabba Dekanami. In fact, Rabba says, you see that from the wording of our Mishnah, from the wording of that Mishnah. Dekatani Vahu Hasoris. Because the expression is not the expression is, and he is a soris, implying that we need actual simonim. Why is he considered a soris? Not automatically because he's 20 and doesn't have shtei sairis, but because Vahu Hasoris, he has simonim of a soris. So Shlomi, now that proves it. So the question is, well, then if he doesn't have Simone Sris, so he doesn't have Shtei Sairis, but he also doesn't have the other simonim that we're talking about. So how long do we need to wait before we say that he's a gadol? The answer is, ad roiv shnoisel. We have to wait until the majority of his years. Since Yemei Shnei Senim Bahem Shivim Shana, the average human lifespan is considered to be 70 years, then it means we need to wait until he's at least 35 years old. Only then, if he has no Shtei Sairis and no Simone Sris, then we say he's a gadol by default. So that's what our Mishnah would be talking about, a case like that, where he's 20, he doesn't have Shtei Sairis, but he also doesn't have Simone Sris. And therefore, we still consider a cut. I've mentioned before about the idea that I had in connection with that, in connection with Rus, that she may have been in that situation and considered a tana until she's 35, almost 40, and therefore that would be why Naomi is telling her and Orpah to go back to go back to Moav, because they would have been geirah, it would have been one of those cases where she becomes a geirah as a child, where she has the ability when she becomes older to renege on it. Anyway,
Orpah also,
yeah. So the Gemara says, "Ki also a kamei de rova." Now, whenever there was a case of someone like that, a 20-year-old who they need to check that he doesn't have Cyrus, and they need to figure out whether it's because he's a Swiss or not. So when they would come to rova, ikochush, if the boy was too skinny, omalahu zilu avriyuhu, he would first tell the people, go fatten him up a bit. The ibori, and if he was too fat, omalahu zilu akhushu, they would tell him, put him on a diet. The hani simonim, because these simonim, the shtei Cyrus, zimnin the natri machmas chishusa, sometimes it can happen that they fall out because the person is too skinny, the zimnin the natri machmas bayusa, and sometimes because he's too fat. So therefore, so you have to get him to a normal in-between weight, and then we can see if he still doesn't have shtei Cyrus. In other words, the point is maybe he actually had shtei Cyrus and they fell out. So therefore, we need to get him to a normal average weight, and then we can see whether the shtei Cyrus grow and persist. And then in that case, it means, of course, he's not a Swiss. It means that he's a gadol whose development was just delayed.
Bar yusa literally means
healthiness, but it means in those times to be healthy was to be fat. So yeah. Hadron alacha isha rabba. The next parak over here, we're going to talk about various miscellaneous dinim involving close relationships, what's allowed and what's not allowed, and various cases. Also, we're going to talk about cases of babies that got mixed up and whatever. What's this doing? You know, what's this doing over here? So Tosfos explains that the previous parak we talked about the concept that ein shchivas achoisa isauta, that just because a man has relations with his wife's sister doesn't aser his wife to him. So therefore, that leads us into similar discussions over here about if a man had relations with a certain woman, what relatives of hers is and isn't he allowed to marry? Which is the beginning of our parak. So the Mishnah says noisin al hanusav al mafuta. You're allowed to marry the relative of an anusa or a mafuta, meaning a man was ma'anes or mafata a woman, so he had relations with her outside of marriage, whether it was consensual or not. So now, he would be later on allowed to marry her close relatives, her daughter or her sister or her mother. Now we said, for example, if he marries her, he's also to marry those relatives. But if he only had relations with her outside marriage, then he is mutter to marry those relatives. On the other, well, the fine he has to pay, that's another matter, but we're not even getting into that. But yeah, the fines we'll talk about in Tzuvos, Mr. Shemin, in a few weeks from now. Yeah. Continues the Mishnah. Conversely, though, if he's married to a woman and then is ma'anes or mafata, her sister or her daughter or whatever, then he's chayav, whatever the penalties would be for that. Chatas, if it was b'shoigig, kores or misses based, depending on the particular erva, if it was b'mezid, etc. Yeah. Continues the Mishnah. A man is allowed to marry a woman whom his father was ma'anes or mafata, anusas b'noi mafutas b'noi, or vice versa, a woman who his son was ma'anes or mafata. Rabbi Yehuda oiser ba'anusas aviv mafutas aviv. Rabbi Yehuda says if his father had relations with the woman even outside marriage, then he's also to marry her for reasons that we're going to explain in the Gemara.
So the son
would be also right. So in other words, if the father, if Yaakov was ma'anes or mafata a woman, then Rabbi Yehuda says none of Yaakov's sons would be allowed to marry this woman. But vice versa, if let's say Reuven was ma'anes a woman, then Yaakov would be allowed to marry her according to everybody. We'll see in the Gemara why. So the Gemara says the first part of our Mishnah, Tanein alahad tanin abanan. Our Mishnah, therefore, is teaching us in brief what it says in more detail in a braisa, and that means the halacha is like that braisa. Onas isha mutar lisabita. If a man was ma'anes a woman, so he's allowed later on to marry her daughter. It's not considered. Now, like this, if they had been married, he'd be also to marry her daughter, even if she's not, if she's his own daughter, obviously nothing to talk about, but even if she's the woman's daughter from another husband, then still he'd be also to marry her because Ervas Isho Vita Leisigale. But that applies only if he married the mother, not if he was Ma'anis, the mother. That's the point we're saying.
Problem is, it's not going to happen.
Well, it may not. Well, one second. So the Braisa continues, Nosa Isha also Lisa Bita. On the other hand, if he marries a woman, then he's also to marry her daughter. So the Gemara says, I have a contradiction though. Another Braisa says, Hanitan Mina Isha, if a man is suspect and there's a coil that he was mizana with a certain woman, also be imo over vita over achosa, then he's also to marry her mother or her daughter or her sister. So if that's also even when he's nitan, then how much more so if he actually did it?
What's the difference with nitan?
Nitan literally means that he was claimed against. So Rashi says a nechshad yatzal of koil. It means that there was a suspicion that he was mezana with a certain woman. So now he's also to marry her sister or daughter or her mother or daughter or her sister. The answer is midrabban. The answer is that's only midrabban, because what's going to happen? Let's say, so he was mizana with a certain woman, let's say. Now, hanitan means that we're talking about that it was consensual, it was pitri, that he seduced her. So now what's going to happen? If he goes and marries her mother or her daughter or what have you, what's going to happen is that they're more likely to visit. Mothers regularly visit their daughters visit their mothers, sisters visit each other. Then he's going to have an opportunity again to be mizana with the other one. And that's a problem, because once he marries the one of them, then the other one becomes also tam daraisa. That was the second statement of our Mishnah, ha'onis famafata al-nasu achayim. So therefore, midrabanan, we don't want him to marry any of her, we don't want him to marry those relatives. Yeah, it's the first
difference between those two.
Nechshad means that he's just suspected. Yotzal of Kohl means that there's an actual Kohl, there's actual rumors going around about it.
Yeah, okay, so if he's suspected, that means there's...
Well, no, because suspected could mean even without there being rumors, there's just, you know, somebody suspects him. Let's say.
Nechshad is like one.
Nechshad is like, Yotzal of Kohl means that there's
the talk of the town.
Yeah, exactly. And we learned earlier in the Masecht, actually, and the Gemara discusses here and there in a couple of places in Shas, that there are certain rules when such a thing is considered a koil, when it's considered valid. It has to last for a minimum certain amount of time, a day and a half, and it has to be that he doesn't have enemies who are deliberately going and spreading false rumors about him, and there's several other things. Anyway, so now there is an interesting machlokas we've shown him about this. Does this rule about not marrying the relatives, does it apply further out? For example, you think about it, Minat Torah, we know that if a man marries a woman, he's also to marry her grandmother. Es bas b'nov, es bas b'ita loisikach. Does that apply over here also? On the one hand, so in other words, are we saying that the Chachamim make the rule to be fully as if he was married to this woman? So therefore, all of the seven relatives that would be also to him, daraisa from her, are also in this case. Or do we say only the three that we're listing over here, because these are the three who are most likely to visit her? The other four, a paternal grandmother, a maternal grandmother, and the various kinds of granddaughters are less likely. I mean, they may visit, but it's less likely that they're going to visit often enough that there could potentially be a problem. So the Macholikas we're showing about that. Anyway, so the answer is Midrabanan. So the answer is Machol Heicha De'ike Yisura Midrabanan Tani Noisin L'Hatchila. Our Mishnah, it said the word Noisin, which implies that L'Hatchila, you'd be allowed to marry her. If it's also Midrabanan, how can the Mishnah be saying that? In fact, Tosfos says, I mean, the Braisa also said Mutter Lisa Bita, the Gemara could have asked on the Braisa, but it prefers to ask from the Mishnah, where a Mishnah, after all, is stronger than a Braisa. And on Mishnah, why is it using the word Noisin? If it meant that it's also Midrabanan and only fine, we're going to say if they married, we're not going to force them to divorce, the expression wouldn't have been Noisin, which implies a Nosa, Nosa, Alan Nosa, Alan Mufuta, Lo Yaitse, or something to that effect. The answer is la'acha misa. The answer is kitnan masnisin la'acha misa. The answer is our Mishnah is talking about after the death of the woman whom he was ma'anes or mefater. So now there's nothing to be gozer that now when he marries her daughter or sister or whatever, he might continue to be mizana with her because she's dead. So that would be the case when he's allowed to marry the relatives. Okay, the Gemara says minohani mili. Now, where do we know all this from, that the Isser applies only if he married the first woman? So the Tanna Rabbanan, Bekula Nema Shchiva. By all the Arayas in Parashas Kedoshim, it uses the expression Shchiva. The Ish Asher Yishkav with this one, the Ish Asher Yishkav with that one. The Kan, whereas when it comes to a woman and her mother, or various other ones like that, ones where it's also because of his wife, Nema Kicha. Then the expression is Ki Yikach. For example, you have the expression Isha Shu Yikach as Isha Vesima, or the Isha Lachosa Lo Sikach. So always it uses the word Kicha, Loimaloch, and that teaches you, Derech Likuchin Osra Torah, the Torah only answers it if he did likuchin, which means marriage with the first woman. So now when he marries a woman, then he's also min haTorah to marry her daughter or her granddaughter or her mother or her grandmother or her sister.
As opposed to onus.
As opposed to when it was onus or pitu. Yeah. But Rapapa asks, Elame Ata Gabe Achoisai. In that case, consider a sister, which is also in the parasha of Arayas over there, Yichtiv Isha She Yikach as Achoisai Bas Ove Vai Basinoi, where it says that if a man is Yikach, his sister, or the daughter of his father or his mother, Hachinami Derech Kicho, Uda also Derech Shila Shari. Are you telling me it would be allowed if it's not marriage, if they're only Mizana together? Obviously not. So you see that just because it says Asher Yikach doesn't mean an express, doesn't mean Davka, that there has to be marriage involved.
What's Yikach?
The question is that by a sister, it also says Isha She Yikach as Achoisei Bas Ovei Vai Basinoi. Obviously, you're not going to say it's only that they're also to get married, but they're allowed to have relations outside of marriage. So we see that just because it says Ki Yikach or Asher Yikach or whatever doesn't Davka mean marriage. Amalei Sabai answers him Likuchin Ksivi Batorah Stam. The answer is when the Torah uses the word lekuchen, it means in a generic sense. It means whatever it needs to mean in that context. Haroi lekicha kicha, where you're talking about a woman who conceivably there could be kedushin with, then it means kicha, then it means that it requires that he actually married the first one in order for the isser to be triggered. In other words, you can't say that there's lekuchen with the second one, because once he married the woman, for example, then kiddushin are not tofus with her sister because it's an erva. But what we mean is, to begin with, how was the whole thing triggered through lekuchen? Haroi l'shchiva shchiva. But where you can't say that lekuchen actually means marriage, as in the case of a sister, then it does mean shchiva. In other words, Tosfos explains, by a sister, you obviously, nobody's going to think that it means that you're allowed, that you're only also to marry her, but you're allowed to have relations with her outside of marriage. Everybody knows in Kedushin, Tosfos b'Achosai. In fact, there's a Gemara, and in fact, there are Gemaras in Kedushin and some other places that use that as a given that everybody knows. Everybody knows that you can't marry your sister. So therefore, the Torah can use the word Kiyikach, and it's not concerned that people are going to misunderstand that. As opposed to, by the other ones, if it had said Loshen Shchiva, then it would mean that even if he's Mizana with a woman, he's not allowed to marry her sister or her daughter or what have you. And that's not the case. And therefore, specifically, it writes the word Kicha in that connection. Isha Sheyikach. Okay. Rava Omar. Rava says, here's a different way of Daushinim. We had the Braisa is pointing out that there's a difference between the ones that it says Shchiva and the ones that it says Kicha. So Rava says, I have a different way of Daushinim. Now, Marsha explains, Rava can't argue with a Braisa, but Rava is bothered by that, Rava is saying that the drosha and the Braisa is kind of incomplete. You still need, because after all, as the Gemara is going to point out in a few lines, on the face of it, maybe you would have more reason to aser if there was onus involved than if there was marriage. Because we're going to say soon, when he's ma'anis, after all, he did an aveira. So they, because to begin with, to be ma'anis a woman or to be mafata her is an aveira in itself. So maybe you would have more reason to be machmer on that. So yes, we have Braise is pointing out kicha versus shchiva, but it's still incomplete. Why wouldn't we say a kav chomer that if it's also with kicha, how much more so it's also with shchiva? Therefore, Rava says we need another drasha. So Rava says onas isha muto lisa bita mehocha. The fact that if he's ma'anis a woman, he's allowed to marry her daughter, we get it from here. From a different pasuk, k'siv ervas bas bincha oy bas vitcha lo segale. The pasuk, on one hand, you have one pasuk that says you're not allowed to have relations with your granddaughter, implying ho bas bina dido bas vita dido gali, implying that you would be allowed to marry your wife's grandchildren, meaning when they're not your own. Uchtiv ervas ishu vitcha lo segale es bas bina ves bas vita lo sika. On the other hand, you have another pasuk that says that you're not allowed to have relations with a woman and her daughter or her granddaughter. So what is it? Are you allowed to marry? Are you allowed to have relations with your wife's granddaughters or not? So Hokate said kan ba oinsin, kan ba nisuin. So the answer is that one is talking about oinsin and the other is talking about nisuin. So when it was an oinus, then you're not allowed to marry your own grandchildren, of course, but you would be allowed to marry the grandchildren, the granddaughters of the woman that you were ma'anis. On the other hand, if you married her, then not. So the Gemara says, Epochana. The answer, but the question still is, why don't we flip it around? Which, after all, Tosfos says, by Onsin, he actually did an Isser, whereas by Nisuin, he didn't. So maybe there's more reason to ask her relatives by Onsin than not. The answer is, Arayas She'er Ksibu. The answer is because by the Arayas, it uses the expression She'er, which means a close relative. Ish Ish are called She'er Besorari. So therefore, B'nisuin Ika She'er. Only once there's marriage can it be called she'er, because then your wife is closely related to you. And in fact, for example, by a kohen gadol, we say kiyim l'she'ere, by a kohen rather, we say kiyim l'she'ere, akorev elav, that he's able to become tomei mes for his wife. So we see that she'er zu ishtei. But unsin, like a she'er, on the other hand, if it was only ma'anasur, she's not his she'er, and therefore there's less reason to say that the dinim of arayas would apply to that. So that's it. So that's another way of darshining, then, says Rava, that makes it more clear than the Braisa, because again, with the Braisa, we could have just said that it means that it applies with Lekuchen, and how much more so without Lekuchen. But now it's clear because it says She'er, and because we have these two psukim that seem to contradict each other, and this is how we can reconcile them, that we see that it only applies when there was marriage involved, not when there was only Znus involved. Tosfos, in fact, points out it doesn't even need to be actually that you even had relations with one of them. If, let's say, the first one was nichnas al chuppa, that you did chuppa with the first one, then already the second ones are off limits. Because at that point, she's already she'er. Because nisuin, which is chuppa, already accomplishes she'er even before they have the first relations. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah of Yehuda Oyser Ba'anusas of Chula that Rabbi Yehuda had said that it's also to have relations with or to marry your father's Anusa. So Omer of Gidol, Omer Rab, my time in the Rabbi Yehuda, Dichtiv, Lo Yikach Ishas Eishas Aviv, the Pasuk says a man is not allowed to marry his father's wife, the Lo Yigalek Knaf Aviv, he's not allowed to uncover the skirt or the corner of the garment of his father. Now, a Konaf, now Gilui Konaf, means also marrying or having a relationship with. We find, for example, by Boaz and Rus, where Rus tells him, spread out your konaf over your maidservant, meaning me, in other words, marry. So we see that konaf has to do with marriage. So what the pasuk means is konaf shara of, so but not just marriage, having relations. So it means konaf shara of lo yigala. It means the corner that his father saw, meaning when his father had relations with this woman, lo yigala, then the Torah is telling the son, you are not allowed to uncover that same konaf, you are not allowed to marry her or have relations with her. So the question is, how do we know it's referring specifically to an anusa? Maybe it's only referring to where the father married her. The answer is dichtiv me'ilave, because a couple of psukim earlier it says the nosana isha sheichav imalav yanara chamishin kasev. The previous a couple of psukim earlier it talks about the dinim of an anusa, where it says that if a man is ma'anis of a nairam sula, then he has to pay a fine and he has to marry her. So we see that there it's talking about oinus. So therefore, lo yigala knaf aviv. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta that Rabbi Yehuda holds that throughout most of Chumash, we don't darshan smuchim. We don't say that just because one thing is smuch to another one in the Torah, we darshan one from the other. But we said in Chumash Devarim, he does darshan smuchim. So here, since you have the smuchim, then he darshans that. However, v'rabbanon, what are the chachamim answer to that? They say I have a smuch like in Kamer. If the psukim were actually back-to-back, then you'd be right. Hashtag delay somichle, but it's not actually back-to-back because in between you have lo yikach ishas ishas aviv. In between you have the half a pasuk that says that he's not allowed to marry his father's wife. So therefore we can't say, so now it's not somuch anymore. The v'nosan isha sheikh avima, which is talking about an oynes, then you have lo yikach ishas ishas aviv. Only after that do you have the lo yigalek knaf aviv. That's not considered smuchim, say the chachamim. So what are we using that for? We're using it for what Rav Onan teaches us. The Amar of Onan Amar Shmuel, the Shemeres Yavim Shal Aviv Akosim Medaber. The Pasuk is talking about where the woman is a Shemeres Yavim of his father. So in other words, his father's brother died. So now she's up for Yibum to his father. So the Torah is telling us that the son is not allowed to marry her. Umay Knaf Aviv. So what does it mean? His father's skirt means konaf haro'i lo'oviv lo yigala. She is suitable for his father because she's a shemeres yavim to his father. Therefore, he, the son, is not allowed to marry her. but nothing to do with if the father was ma'anasur. So the ma'anasur typically mishum de dasai. Anyway, she's also to him. She's his father's brother's wife, which is an erva in Torah. The answer is okay. Laver al ever shnei laver. The answer is that you're right. It means the Torah is telling us if the son now were to marry her or have relations with her, he would be over on two laver. Number one, that she's his aunt, and number two, that she's his father's shemeresia. So the Gemara says, "V'tipo kalei mishum yivam l'shuk." Anyway, isn't she also because she's a yivam l'shuk? She's waiting for chalitza or yibum. So nobody else is allowed to marry her. The answer is laver al ever shloisha laver. Okay, you're right. It means that he'd be over on three laver in that case. Yivam l'shuk, his aunt. And that she's his father's shemeres yavam. Another possibility, you could say that we're talking about suppose his father already died. So now there's no more, and suppose the father didn't have any more brothers. So now there's no more problem of yavam alashuk. So now you still have the remaining two lavim. Number one, that she's his father's brother's wife, or was his father's brother's wife, and therefore is also to him as an erva. And number two, you have the special thing of lo yikach, of lo yigal, that in addition, because it was his father's shemeres yavam, then he's over on an additional lav as well. So it means right now his father is not around anymore, but she was a kona for roi la'ovim when his father was alive, and therefore we're saying the lav still applies. Yeah. Okay. In this connection, then the Gemara is going to bring a bunch of riddles, a bunch of mesholim. Rashi says, "Regilim bnei adam la'omron." People regularly quote these like as brain teasers. So therefore, the Gemara brings them as well. Tosva says, or what's the nafkamina? Tosva says, "L'tshuvas hatzdukim." That if the minim or tzedukim or what have you argue with us and say that and say you chachamim don't know what you're talking about, we can show them, look, we understand the answers to these riddles. Do you? So therefore, that's why the Gemara brings them. The Meiri says a third point as well, that these are, we know that you're usually not allowed to say Lashon Hara, but we know that when there's a Baal Averis, you have to warn people away from him. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to use some of these riddles to highlight when you have a Rosha who does Znus with his close relatives, who's over on his Surim Avarayis, then we mention these riddles to highlight what a terrible thing he did, and then therefore that people should know to stay away from such a person. So the first one is, now, not all of them are going to be matters of Isurim. Some of them are matters where it's Mutter. But nevertheless, once we have some of them are Osir, then we're bringing all of them together. So the first one is, Och me'av v'loy me'im. You have someone who's a brother from the father, but not from the mother. V'hu baila de'im. He's also the mother's husband. V'anob brate de'im to say, and I, the speaker, is saying, I'm the daughter of his wife. So what would be the scenario? So let's use a diagram over here. We have in Mara Yavamas, it's page 100, diagram 211. So you have over here that Yaakov has a son Reuven. Yaakov was Yaakov was ma'anes a woman. Now, according to the Chachamim in our Mishnah, Reuven is perfectly allowed to marry that woman. According to the Yehuda, not. But according to the Chachamim, Reuven is allowed to marry that woman because Yaakov was never married to her. Now, when they have a daughter, the daughter is Reuven. So the daughter can say on Reuven, she is Och Me'ov. She's my father from she's my brother from the father's side. But Ava Loy Me'ehim, but not from the mother's side. Yaakov was ma'anis this woman. The daughter is Yaakov's daughter. So she's Reuven's half sister. They both have the same father, but they have different mothers because Reuven's from a different mother. She came from Yaakov and this issue. Yeah. So
illicit relations.
Right. So she's Yaakov's daughter from this woman that he had illicit relations with. She's a half sister to Reuven. Therefore, she can say that Reuven is my brother from the father's side, but not from the mother's side. V'hu baila de'im, he's my mother's husband because he's allowed to marry the woman who was originally the Anusa. But I'm not brated in to say, and I am the daughter of his wife. She's not Reuven's biological daughter. She's Yaakov's biological daughter. But she is. So such a thing could work out. So it's actually, so Omer Rami Bachama.
What could work out?
So this such a scenario could work out. You could have a person being able to say that. Omer Rami Bachama, Deloitte could have Yehuda. necessarily that would have to be not like Rabbi Yehuda, the like Rabbi Yehuda Demasnissim, that would not be Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah would say that the only way such a thing could happen was the Isser. There's no way that it could happen beheter because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Reuben is not allowed to marry the Isher in this diagram. Next. The next one is you can have a person who says, Ohu Uvrihu, this person is my brother and is my brother and also my son. I am the sister of this boy who I'm carrying on my shoulders. So how do you have such a scenario? That you can't have beheter, that you can only have the iser, and therefore the Gemara is going to talk about a goyd. Now, obviously, in physically, a yid would be capable of doing it as well, but we don't want to say that a yid would do such severe isurim, and therefore we talk about that goy did it. So the scenario would be mashkachas lo ba'ovikachav ma'bar bita. If a goy is mezana with his daughter, so you have here in diagram 212, if Esav has relations with his daughter Machlas, and they have a daughter, then that daughter. That son is both a brother of his, is both a brother of his sister as well as her son. He's a brother because they share the same father, and he's her son because he was born from her. So therefore, so she can say he's my brother, he's also my son, and I'm the sister of this little boy that I'm carrying on my shoulder. The next one is you can have a woman says to a man, hello to you, my son. I'm the daughter of your sister. What would that be? That would be where the guy is mezana with his granddaughter. So here's the next diagram to illustrate that. So Esav has a daughter, Hogar, who in turn has a daughter, Basmas. Esav is mezana with Basmas, and they have a son. So now the son is so now she can say, my son, I'm also the daughter of your sister, because Hagar is a sister after all. They both share the same father, Esau. So your half sister is also my mother, and that would be the scenario. The next one is we say Daloi de Dalu Davla, the people who the workers who draw water to water the fields. I'm asking you the following lipo b'chus seiser peser. Let there fall among you a riddle with a very hidden answer. Seiser means hidden. Peser means an answer. I'm giving you the following riddle. You the water drawers who water the fields. Tosfos brings from the Aruch that it also means that instead it means the Chachamim who draw out water from the deep wells of Chachma, meaning that the Chachamim are able to understand everything with their Chachma of Torah. So the riddle is, a woman says, Dehai de Darina, this child whom I'm carrying, Hubar, he's my son, Va'ano Bras Achor, and I am the daughter of his brother. So what would that be? Also, Mashkachas Lo Ba'ovikachavim Habo Abbas B'no. So there also, it involves a goy who's mezana with his son's daughter. The previous one was a daughter's daughter. Now we're talking about a son's daughter. So it's a similar diagram. You have diagram 214. Esav has a son, Eliphaz, who has a daughter, Basmas. Esav is mezana with his granddaughter, Basmas. They have a son. So therefore, Basmas is saying, this child is my son, but I myself am the daughter of the son's brother, because the son and Eliphaz are half brothers. They have the same father, Esau. Another one, a more complicated one, is a woman says, Baya, Baya, whoa, whoa. It's a Baya is an expression like you're a gival, like you say in Yiddish, like I'm protesting against. Me'och, about my brother, Vahu of, he's also my father, Vahu Baal, he's also my husband, Vahu Bar Baal, he's also the son of my husband, Vahu Baila Deim, he's also my mother's husband, Ba'ano Brate de Ikse, and I am the daughter of his wife. Which Rashi points out, that's really the same thing as saying that he's my father. She's pointing out how many different ways that we're related, and v'lo yohiv pita l'achu yasmi bnei brate, and yet he's not giving bread to his brothers who are also his grandchildren. In other words, you would think he'd have a little rachmanos on them. They're related to him in so many ways, and yet he's being cheap and not supporting them. So what's the scenario? So here we have a much more complicated scenario, which we have diagram 215 to illustrate it. So first of all, the guy is mizana with his mother, and he has a daughter with her. So far, that daughter, then, you consider, is his daughter as well as his sister, because they share the same mother. Then the same guy has relations with that daughter. So now when they have a child, then that child is his child as well as his grandchild, because it's also his daughter's son. Then the old man, the father of the original guy, Ubala, and he has relations with her, and he has children with her. So let's look at the diagram. We start off with the guy labeled over here Nochri, who is Mizana with his mother Basmas, and they have a daughter Hagar. Then later on, he's Mizana with that daughter Hagar herself, and they have children. And the of Zokin, the father of the Nochri, is also Mizana with Hagar. So now you have, the result is that those children are related to the Nochri and to the Nochri's father, the of Zokin, in so many different ways. So that would be the scenario where we have, they could be related in all those different ways. So we're saying that he's her brother from the mother's side. So Hagar would be complaining then that the Nochri is my brother from my mother's side, because we both have the same mother Basmas, and he's she's also his daughter. He's also her father, and then when the Zokin has relations with her and they have children, then in addition, those children are also his children and his grandchildren, and yet. So therefore, so you have that scenario. Another one is where she says, Anov at achi, you and I are brothers. Anov avuch achi, you I so so I so so anov at achi, you and I and you are brothers. Anov avuch achi, I and your father are brothers. Anov imcha achi, and I and your mother are brothers. What's the scenario? Mashkachas lava over to chav ma bald imoy v'holim men a shtei bonus. The guy was mezana with his mother and had two daughters. V'chazer aval achas mehen. Then later on, he goes and has relations with one of those daughters, where those daughters, when you think about it, they're his half-sisters as well as his daughters. So now, when he's mezana with one of them, v'holim men a bain, and has a son with her, therefore, v'kari alay achsid ima. So now his mother's sister. So you have here in the diagram, in diagram 216, you have the two daughters, believing them Bas Aleph and Bas Beis. So Bas Aleph, who is the aunt of this child, can tell him the Karmel Lehochi. She can say that to him. She can say that I'm your sister because we both have the same father, the Nochri. I'm also your mother's sister, and I'm also your father's sister, because you have all of those relationships. Suppose that she says anov at bnei achi, you and I are the sons of brothers. We're both the sons of two brothers. We're cousins, in other words. Anov avuch bnei achi. I and your father are the sons of two brothers. Anov imcha bnei achi. And I and your mother are the sons of two brothers. So that, habahatera nami mashkatasla. That scenario you could find beheter as well. That doesn't require any relationships that were also like the last few. Namely, now we're back to, we can be talking about Jews, because now we're talking about everything was beheter, so we don't have to attribute it to Goyim. So Reuven had two daughters labeled over here in the diagram, Rachel and Leah. His brother Shimon comes and marries one of them, Rachel. Meanwhile, a son of Levi, who's labeled here in the diagram Yachzel, comes and marries the other one named Leah. So now Shimon's son, Nachshon, in this diagram, can say that to Levi's grandson, Chetzron, he can say, we're cousins, but we also, you and I are the sons of two brothers, or the sons of two siblings. Ach, he doesn't necessarily mean brothers, but we're the sons of two siblings, because our mothers, Rachel and Leah, are sisters. But in addition, also, Anova Avuch Bnei Achi, Anova Imcha Bnei Achi. In addition, also, I and your father are cousins, because I'm the son of Shimon, and your father Yachzel is the son of Levi, and that makes us also first cousins in that way. And we're also Anova Imcha Bnei Achi, and I and your mother are also he's saying that I and your mother are siblings, because again your mother is the daughter of Reuven, and I'm the son of Shimon, and therefore that makes us also cousins. So you can have, they can be first cousins in three different ways, like that, in other words, and all of that bad. Okay, the Mishnah says, Hagiyonis chinis gayu boneha ima. If her children became gayrim with her. So now, lochiltsin v'loy miyatman, they don't have to do chalitza or yibum with each other. Now, the point is, in other words, that she conceived these children while she was still a goita. Now, so a ger is not considered to have any relations from his father. So even though they were born from the mother, so let's say she was Nisgayer before they were born, nevertheless, the fact that they're not considered to be related from the father, Rashi brings the Rachmana Afke Kazera Behema. The Torah considers the children of a goy to be hefker. They're not considered to be related to him. The Pasuk says, Vizumas Susim Zumasam. The Pasuk says that their flow is like the flow of horses, meaning the same way as horses. We don't care who the father of a particular horse was, the same way over here.
But they're going, right?
So we're talking about that they became gay. We're talking about the Hagiyot Shinis Gairo Banao Ima, that her children became gayrim with her. So in other words, they were born. So they were born after she became a Gayor.
Which father?
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't matter. Even if they were from the same father, they're not considered to be paternal brothers. Therefore, they don't have to do chalitza and yibum with each other's wives. Afilo hayrosi shalrishin shalavikdusha v'ledasi vikdusha v'asheni hayrosi v'ledasi vikdusha. And that applies even if the first one was conceived while she was still a goita and born after she was converted, and the second one was conceived and born after she was a geiris. No, and let's say she's still married to the same man all the time. Nevertheless, the one that was conceived when she and her husband were goyim is still considered not to be a brother of the other one. The same thing applies to a shivcha whose children were freed along with her. Same thing. So the Gemara says, Bnei Yudan Amsa Ishtachar. It happened once that the children of Yudan, the maidservant, that was her name, were freed. So Rav Achaba Yaakov gave them a heter to marry each other's wives, meaning in other words, not even a matter of yibum. Even if one of the brothers died with children, Rav Achaba Yaakov said, still, you would be allowed to marry your brother's widow because you're not actually considered brothers. So Rava says, did Rav Sheshes say that such a thing is osir for reasons that we're going to discuss soon? Amalei, so Rav Achaba Yaakov says, what's the problem? Who also vano sharina? Okay, he says it's also, I say it's mutter. We're both amiroyim. We're allowed to disagree with each other. Now, the Gemara explains, mina av v'loy mina aim kol amalei pligi d'shari. If they only share the same father and not the same mother, then everybody agrees that they would be mutter. Because as we said, the Rachmana after Elazare, the Torah doesn't consider them to be related lahalocha to their father. On the other hand, mina aim v'loy mina av, but if they have the same mother but not the same father, kula amalei pligi de osir, everybody would agree that it's osir because you might confuse them with Jews. You might think that if you're allowed to do that between two children who are gayrim like that, you might think that you're also allowed to between two Jewish brothers, and of course you're not, because there's no possibility of yibum between brothers from the same mother. Ki pligi mina av umina aim. Machlokas would be if they have both the same parents, the father and mother. Mandashori, Rav Achaba Yaakov, who allows them then now to marry one to marry one another's ex-wife, he holds Bosser Abba Shadinan, he holds that we mainly follow the father, because after all, what do people mostly call them? People mostly call them by their mother's name, the daughter of the children of Plonius. So therefore, people are not going, people are not going to think that there's a problem. People are going to know the reason why we allow it is because they're not considered to be brothers from the father's side. Because Rashi brings a point that your average goiter is usually promiscuous, and therefore the chances are it's from another father. Over Rav Sheshes, Kardaluhunami bnei Plonius, bnei Plania. Sorry, it doesn't mean Plonius. Plania means Ploini. In the masculine. So they mostly call them by the father's name, so it doesn't occur to the average person that they have the same mother. Therefore, they're not going to confuse them with Jews. Rav Sheshes points out, Rav Sheshes says that, no, the fact is they can also call them Bnei Plonius, and therefore people are going to realize that they have the same mother and think that there's a problem over here. The Ikadama, Polygram, Achabayaka, Philip Achamunaim, oh, my time of Gershon, this guy cut into another dummy. Some say that Rav Acha bar Yaakov would disagree and say that it's mutter, even if they share the same mother, because after all, Gershon is guy cotton should know the dummy. They're not considered to have any relationship, and therefore that's that. So just to summarize, I mean, we'll continue tomorrow, Bas Hashem, but Tosfos actually discusses Udi and the Masechta, and the Ritva over here summarizes. There's a few different possibilities. You can have where they're mutter. You can have where they're also, because we might confuse them with Jews. We also have something that we discussed earlier in the Masechta called Bonu Mikdusha Chamur L'Kdusha Kala. Certain relationships that would have been also to them as Bnei Noyach remain also to them after they become Gerim, because we don't want them to say, look at this, you know, we went from Kedusha Chamura, that we were also in these things, and now we become Jews, then these things become mutter to us. It's not logical. So there are certain relationships that remain also to them on those grounds. But here in our sugya, we're mainly going to be focusing on the first two, the ones that are mutter, and the ones that are also, because we might confuse them with Jews. So cool. Okay, can we continue tomorrow, Hashem?